My family and I came to Indiana to candidate for a position of pastor of, at that time, First Baptist Church of Lisdon. And we were told that there was this meeting going on at one of the churches that they all fellowshipped with. So I said, well, it'd be good to go at least one day and try to meet some of the other preachers of the area. And we ended up coming the rest of the week and got to know some of y'all that week. Got to love some of y'all. And God used this meeting to help confirm in my heart that that's where God wanted us, was in Lisdon. I knew there were men in this area that loved each other, wanted to help each other, and I needed that at that time in my life. Been 7 years out in Colorado trying to plant two churches, and we were out in the middle of nowhere. Nearest fellowship was an hour away, and even when you went to a fellowship, they it didn't seem like people wanted to fellowship very much, amen. And so I appreciated this meeting, and Brother John even let me preach that year. Didn't know me, and let me preach that year, and I appreciated that. And so I appreciate each one of you, and even if I don't know you real well, I still appreciate you. Year by year, seeing you come here, seeing that you're still sticking with it, hearing you preaching still the same things, amen. And I appreciate that. Brother Ryan talked about not selling out, amen? And one of the things that I'm seeing is, yeah, we got a lot of these preachers coming in and coming in with the, you know, King James under their arm and everything, and then slowly but surely leading people astray. But you know how they're leading people astray? It's because the people don't know what to believe. They haven't been taught. Discipleship has been thrown aside in most of our churches today. I'm talking one-on-one discipleship, amen? We need to get back to that, making sure our people are strong in the faith so that when a guy comes in and he starts that road, they say, hit the road, Jack, amen? We're not going that way. And so we can blame these preachers, but we also have to blame ourselves if we haven't been teaching our people what we believe, amen, as Baptists. And so discipleship. And then just one other thing before I get to preaching, but I saw the lady singing over here, and Brother John's daughter with the microphone, amen, and she'd lift her hand up like this. Amen. And it reminded me of my son JP when he was just 2 years old. And you all know JP, amen, and he's a blessing to me. He's my right-hand man in Colorado, and even though Brother Rob has kind of become my right-hand man, JP's right there with him, amen, doing so much in the church. But I remember when he was 2 years old, he'd sit on the front pew with all the other little boys in our home church, and there'd be people singing. I'm going to embarrass him, so you embarrass him when you see him next time. But he would sit on that front pew with one hand down his pants, his thumb in his mouth, and they'd be singing something, and he'd lift his hand and say, amen! Amen! Amen. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Our church I don't even know what you call it. I had a ministry for many years now, started by Brother Terry Danford. And many of the churches have been involved in, Victory's involved, and it's a youth rally. We hold a youth rally once a month, and God put it on my heart that Acts chapter 4 was going to be our theme for this year, and the theme is acceptable acquaintances. Here in Acts chapter 4, we have a continuing of Acts chapter 3, where in Acts chapter 3, man has been healed, and Peter and John have been called in to answer for this healing, how this was done, and they have proclaimed that it is in the name of Jesus Christ that this miracle has been done. And of course, the priest and the Pharisees and all them, they don't like this, and
So they bring them in before them in verse 1 of chapter 4. And the Bible says, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and listened, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father, I pray, help us as we look to this, your word. I pray that God, you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme for the rally is acceptable acquaintances. And God had given me some things that I'll be preaching at the rally on this. And others will, I'm sure, be looking at that theme to preach. But I was reading through Acts chapter 4 again a day or two ago. And God started giving me some more thoughts in this chapter. And so the question is who do people see that we've been with? Amen. Preachers, we you know, the Bible tells us, Paul told Timothy that we're to be the example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity, that we are to be the example of the believer. God gives us in his word three what some people would say were titles. I call them job descriptions, amen, of the preacher, and that is pastor, elder, and bishop, amen. And in those we see what our job is as preachers of the word, that as a pastor we are to shepherd God's people and lead God's people according to the word of God. Paul told the people, "You follow me as I follow God." Amen. But that's the end of it right there. Our people need to know they follow God before they even follow us. Amen. If we're not leading them down the right path, they send us packing down the road. And he says we're to be a bishop, which is an overseer. Pastors especially, well, you know, we have overseership of God's church that God has placed us the pastor of. And that means every little piece in it, we will answer to God for our church. If we don't know what's going on in the finances because we say, "Well, I don't really want to be a part of that," and we let somebody else run it and they twist it and steal from it and do ungodly things with it, it's us who will answer for that. If we have Sunday school class teachers and we're not every so often maybe dropping in on them and listening to what they're teaching the young people and they're teaching them heresy, then it's going to be our fault for that. We have the overseership of the church. Too many preachers want to be just a hireling. Amen. They want to complain about, "Oh, they don't want a preacher," but too many preachers want to be a hireling, only preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's it. We got to oversee. But then he says we're to be elders. And an elder is an example. Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Doesn't matter the age of the pastor. Timothy, from what I've read, was very, very young at his first pastorate. Amen. Possibly, they say, even still in his late teens. And he is told to be an example of the believer. It doesn't matter what age we are. Elders not talking about being Santa Claus like Brother Morris. Amen. It's talking about being an example. And so in this portion of Scripture today, we find that Peter and John doing the work of the Lord, and they come before this council and they're demanding to know these things, and they just give what God puts on their heart. They just tell the truth about the Lord again. They just preach Jesus. And of course, they don't like it. But even though they were unlearned and ignorant men, and man, I thank God for some unlearned and ignorant men of our past that had the power of God on them. They might not have had much of an education, but they had the power. Man, folks, listen, I am sick and tired of thinking we got to send our men off to these Bible colleges because that's the only way they're going to become a preacher. They will become a preacher because a preacher took them under their wing and taught them the things of God. Who have we been with? When the people see us in the pulpit on Sunday morning, are they able to say he might not know a lot of math? Somebody said they didn't know much math, didn't know much this, amen. But there they see that they've been with Jesus. And we've been with Jesus. Because you see, it don't matter what might be after our name, some letters. What matters is who's before our name. Jesus Christ. Do they see Jesus in us? Do they see? And folks, listen, I'm talking to myself just as much as anybody else. I know who I am. I know the faults and failures that I have. I know that I can be abrupt. I know that I can be just bullheaded sometimes. Man, I know that when I know that I believe something because I've studied it, man, I'm going to stick with that. And you can't. Turn me from that. It is a trait that my father gave me. One of the preachers talked about traits from their fathers. Amen. That's a trait my dad gave to me. He was the same way. And I praise God for my dad being that way. When he died early in his life, he still stood by what he stood by when he got saved. Amen. But we can stick with what we believe. And we can stand in the wrong spirit. And we can show people that we haven't been around Jesus very long. I see in chapter 3 and chapter 4, really, four things that will show us if we've been with Jesus. Chapter 3, we understand that in chapter 3, again, they've gone to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. And man, I love the children's song and how they healed the man and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. They went into the temple, and of course, people were excited about this, the common man, but those educated ones, amen, the Pharisees and the priests and all that, they weren't so happy. They want to know what's going on, and they teach and preach to them that it's through Jesus that this has been done. But what we see in chapter 3, don't have time to read it all, but is that they were filled with the profession of God. Amen? They were filled doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if we will spend time with the Lord, if we are getting close to Jesus Christ, one thing that's going to be in our life is we are going to be filled with the profession or the work of God in our life. It's not going to be lazy men that are filled with the Lord. Amen? It's not going to be those that sit around and don't do no study and don't do no witnessing and don't do the work of God that are going to be seen as they've been with Jesus. Peter and John, man, they were always doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Everywhere they went, they were trying to tell people about Jesus. Everywhere they went, they'd find themselves a stump to get on and preach the word of God. Man, when I surrendered to preach, my pastor, he told me, he said, Mike, and he told all the other young men in the church that surrendered to preach, he said, don't wait around for an opportunity to preach. Go find some place to preach. Amen. Man, we went to nursing homes. We went street preaching. And man, it was a wonderful time. Man, I look back on that and I wonder sometimes, was I maybe closer to God then? Could people see more of Jesus on me then than they do now? So help me. Are we filled with the profession of God? Is the work of God the meat we live by? Jesus told his disciples when they came upon him and he'd been witnessing to the Samaritan woman and they'd gone to buy something to eat, and he said, I have meat that you know not of. And they're like, well, who gave him some food? But the Bible says he was talking about the work of God in his life. That he lived by the word of God. He lived by the work of God. Is that our very life? Is it just a profession? Do we call ourselves preachers of the word? Are we not really much of a preacher in the fact that we're not doing the work of God? I've known some men that could get up in a pulpit and they could present a good outline and a good message, but they didn't do nothing the rest of the week. What do we do? Some of us have, you know, thank God I don't have to work a secular job anymore. Praise the Lord, the VA decided to give me 100% disability and I can be full-time for the Lord now. But there, most of the time in my time with preaching, I was working secular jobs in Colorado. I was working 3 or 4 jobs at a time to make ends meet, amen. And so I know that there's that you have to work a job sometimes, but do we use that job as a ministry? Do we see the job that we have to work to make ends meet? Do we see it as part of our ministry and reaching out to people? Or is it just the job and we're silent at the job? We don't want to lose the job, so we don't say much, you know, unless somebody else brings it up. Are we filled with the profession of God? Secondly, I see that people will see that we've been with Jesus if we're filled with the power of God. Verse 8 of chapter 4, Bible said, well, verse 7, first, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we filled with the power of God? When we get into the pulpit Sunday morning, have we studied? Have we prayed? Are we ready? Has God blessed what we've done? And are we coming in with power? Or are we coming in dragging feet? I've been there too many times. Coming in dragging feet. I've been there where I didn't even want to be there. Amen. I wanted to stay in bed that Sunday morning. Now I thank God that even when I'm discouraged or when I'm worn, maybe it's just plain wore out physically and don't want to get out of bed because it's just physical wore out. I thank God that I can still, if I be obedient, and I walk into the house of God, it don't take but a hymn or two before I'm starting to, woo, man, I'm glad I came. But woe be to us preachers if it's almost every Sunday that's where we're at. Again, we're to be the example. We want our churches to be fired up about things of God. We want our churches to be filled with the power of God. We want our people to do God's work. Are we doing it? Are we leading them by example? Hey, let me ask this. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, amen? But let me ask you, amen? How many of us that are pastors specifically, how many of us want our people to have a giving heart? Give unto the Lord. Amen. How many of us have a giving heart? Amen. When the offering plate's been passed this week, did we want to put something in? Maybe you didn't have something to put in, but did you want to put something in? And if you had it, did you put it in? Or did you say, no, I'm here to be blessed, not to bless? Hey. How many of us like to hear our people sing out to the Lord? Man, people look at me weird all the time. If I go into another church, I just sing loud. My dad, when I was growing up, you know, a small church and there's military work, so there's always a rotation of people coming in and out. My dad always taught my brother and I don't care if it's only you and your brother, but you're going to sing and you're going to sing loud. And so that's just the way we grew up, and I just belt it out. I know I can't sing, but I belt it out. People look at me like, what in the world, dude? Just calm it down here a little bit. But man, I liked it. I mean, man, I had preachers visit, come to our church and complain about how loud the people sing. We got 2 little boys. One of them's my boy, and one of them's Brother Rob Wilson's little boy. They sit on the front pew, And man, they're just 8 years old, 7 years old. And so they might be having a little bit of a competition with each other. I'm not sure, amen. But they will look at each other and sing it out. And I had a preacher tell me, you ought to tell them to knock that off. That's distracting. I said, how can I quench the excitement of singing for the Lord in that little heart? Man, I've had more people visit our church, and they might never come back, but they have complimented our church on how loud the people sing, especially the children. Amen. And yet then a preacher comes in and complains about it. Are we filled with the power of God? Because let me ask you here. Do you sing loud in the service? And I've seen preachers during the song service don't sing at all. And they might want to give the excuse why I don't have a singing voice. But the Bible says you don't have that excuse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, I got to save my throat for preaching. Well, God can help you with that if you just sing out to the Lord. Amen. But if we want our people to sing out, do you think we ought to lead them in singing out? Amen. The power of God. How do we get the power of God? He said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's being filled with the power of God. How are we? You know we get the Holy Spirit, every ounce of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get at salvation. But we can quench him. Push him down, make him very small in our life. How do we get filled with the Spirit? Through obedience. Through obedience. All these books trying to teach everybody how to be filled with the Spirit. And it's just as simple as just obey God. That's it. You know, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that verse telling us not to drink alcohol? Well, yeah, in a sense, amen. But I don't think that's what he's really trying to hit at. What he's trying to hit at is the fact that sin, excess, comes with drinking alcohol. And when you're sinning, you're not filled with the Spirit because you're in disobedience. So stop the disobedience and be obedient, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. How many times have we not been obedient to the Spirit, preacher? We haven't been obedient to God. We haven't been obedient to Jesus. And we have no power on Sunday morning. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus because they were filled with the power of God. Thirdly, they took knowledge in verse 9 through 12 that they had been with Jesus because they were filled with the proclaiming of God. He says there, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you holy. He goes on, continues on, preaching Jesus. Notice there in verse 10, he gives the whole gospel right there. Death, burial, and resurrection right there. Amen. He preaches Jesus. This is a sure sign that somebody's been with God because they want to talk about God. Somebody said it the other day. Maybe he was here. Maybe it was Brother Bailey at our church this past Sunday. I can't remember. But when we get together in fellowship, I like to talk about guns. Amen. I love talking about guns. I love talking about army life. Amen. I love being in the army. I love jumping out of airplanes and all those good things. I love talking about that. I love talking about hunting. Amen. I loved hunting. But do we talk about that more than we talk about Jesus? I'm guilty too often. It's real easy to start talking about those things when we could have been talking about Jesus. And I'm not saying it's wrong to talk. Again, there's nothing wrong with talking about those things. But again, if we put anything above God, it becomes a what in our life? An idol. If we're talking more about those things than we're talking about God. And when we have the opportunity to freely talk about God, because the person we're talking with has no problem with it. Amen. He's going to say, yeah, I like that. That's exciting. Hey, man, give me some more. Hey, let me tell you about what God's been doing in my life. You don't have the problem you have if you're trying to talk to a lost person. And yet, we talk about all the other stuff instead of Jesus. Are we filled with the proclaiming of God? Is it what we like to talk about the most? And then lastly, verse 18 through 30. They took notice that they had been with Jesus because they were filled with the pursuit of God. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Here again, hey, they've been told to quit. Not too long, they're going to be told once more to quit. And they're going to get beaten for not quitting. But they say, we're not quitting. We want God. They kept pursuing after Jesus Christ. They kept pursuing after the Lord. Think about this. Husbands, preachers, how many families have we seen split up because a husband stopped pursuing his wife? They got married and he didn't think he needed to pursue her anymore. And she found somebody that would pursue her. As much as our wives want to be pursued and realize how much we love them, how much we like them, amen? How much we want to be with them. God wants the same even more. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know we love him. He wants to know. And hey, they can't be like the husband that told his wife, I told you when we got married I love you. It's still the same today. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. God said, no, that don't work for her. That don't work for me. Amen. You got to tell me and you got to show me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And yet it's preachers. Preachers that are leading by example to not keep the commandments of the Lord. I was telling Brother John last night, I think it was. It just irritates the fire out of me. I'm seeing people who want to do right, but preachers won't do right. We got a young lady getting ready to join our church, her boyfriend, soon hopefully to be fiance, amen. Godly young man. I mean, when he came with her to find her a home church because her church was going off the deep end, he came in and he grilled me. I mean, grilled me. I didn't know where he stood. I just, well, this is what we believe, amen. And at the end of it, he smiled, first smile I'd seen the whole time, and he said, thank you, preacher. There's not many churches I'm finding that still stand on those things. King James, standards of clothing, all of that. But his church in Michigan, here recently, they're going to have a wedding. And one or both of the people in this wedding are divorced. And the daddy went to the preacher and said, preacher, this ain't right. The Bible says they shouldn't be getting married. They're divorced. Why are we marrying them in the church? And the preacher told him, leave the church. Kicked him out. No meeting. No going through the steps or nothing like that. Just said, you leave. You're no longer welcomed here.
That's a dictator.
Yep. Well, then the son said, well, that's my parents. He didn't kick me out, so I'll go to church Sunday morning. I went to church, and when the pastor saw him, he said, come with me to my office. And he said, ooh, that didn't sound too good. Why don't we talk right here where there's witnesses? And preacher said, just get out. And escorted him to the door and told him never come back. Why? Because somebody wanted to stand on what the scripture said, what was right, and a preacher didn't want to. I'm so sick and tired of seeing men that I knew when I was a kid. Seeing guys that were kids with me, grew up in the same churches, were taught the same things. And they're not doing them no more. Walking around in their shorts. Walking around in their muscle shirts. Their wives are walking around in these real short skirts and everything. And they've got the wrong music in their churches now. And all these things come to pass. And folks, listen, we've got to keep pursuing God. Because if we don't, we're going to go down that same path. You know, the pursuit of God is a hard pursuit. The pursuit of the things of this world is easy. That's why it's so many churches are turning that way. Get a lot more people. Get a lot more tithes. I've been praying here the last few days, months. Lord, we got all these things in our church building need to be fixed. We need a new roof on our building. We got two bathrooms that we framed in but haven't gotten them plumbed. Lord willing, in September we're getting them plumbed. And all these things going on, Lord, we just don't have the money. I said, Lord, would you send a tithing millionaire to our church just for 2 months, Lord? Just for 2 months. If you want to send him to another church after that, I'll be fine. But a tithing, amen, send him to Brother Hibner's church for 2 months after that, amen. But send him, Lord, just for 2 months so we can get all this stuff prepared off of his tithe, amen. But think about that. Too often preachers make decisions based on the dollars instead of pursuing after God and God's will. Whether or not that means losing people, that means losing tithes, that might mean people getting mad. And I understand not doing it in a spirit of harshness or dictatorship. But a spirit of, I'm going with God. You can either follow me or kick me out, but I'm going with God. Because I want to pursue God. These are four things that these men had in their life. And the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the priest, they looked on them, and they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Bless your word in Jesus' name.